We got Adam Pengilly. Morning, mate. How are you?
I love it when you get wound up about T20 cricket, Nido.
Seriously, I can't, we're going to be talking about the Perth Scorchers winning the BBL for the next 30 years. It's going to be so fun.
Why do you think they love the Scorchers so much?
It cracks me up, mate. I have no idea. They think they are the great, you only have to see their crowd numbers. They are huge.
I reckon they just want to be their own country, don't they?
I don't get it. I never will. But anyway, good on them. Oh, the Scorchers. The Golden Slipper barrier draw. What did you make of it all?
Interesting. Very interesting. I suppose we'll start with Storm Boy. I'm not convinced Barrier 2 is the best gate for him. He's such a big horse. And we saw in the Skyline last start, he didn't quite fly the gates like he has shown in previous starts. So whenever you draw towards the inside, it always runs the risk. If you don't step quickly, you can be crossed by something coming across from the middle or outside gates, and then it dictates to where you can be in the run. So it's going to be interesting for him, because so far what we've seen in his career, he's almost been like the big kid in the playground, hasn't he? He's been such a physically superior horse. He jumps well. He puts himself on speed and just bullies them into submission, basically. Well, I don't know if that's going to happen there on Saturday. Obviously, Ryan Moore will be riding fairly urgently, I would have thought, and try and go to the front. But if he doesn't quite, launch out of the gates, there's always the risk of something will cross him. And the one thing that I found interesting, Meadow, was all his stalemates are drawn around him, basically. Like, Gabe's got horses in barriers 1, 2, 3, 5, and 9. So all of Gay's horses are drawn towards the inside there. So it'll be fascinating to see how this plays out. I'm not too bad with Switzerland in barrier 7. I think that gives him a bit of time to sort of find his feet, hopefully settle in the first 5 or 6 with a bit of cover. So, yeah, the barrier draw certainly made it a fascinating race. I'm just a little bit worried about the weather today, Mido. Obviously, today was a day where most rain was going to be forecast. So we'll see what comes up comes from that later today.
Will that change where you're leaning at this point if it becomes a heavy track or
I'm going to have to dive a bit deeper, Loz, into the form. As I mentioned yesterday, we just haven't had many of these lead-up races run on really rain-affected going. So we don't really have much evidence to work with these horses on soft going. So we'll see how that plays out. But I'm still at this stage, Loz, just leaning towards Switzerland. I just want to have a bit more time to look at the race the next 24 to 48 hours and just see how the market sort of obviously matures and plays out. But, yeah, I'm still just in his camp at the moment.
I see that there's been some changes in Victoria in regards to some Group 1s. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the big change, Mido, is the Manikato Stakes. Yeah. Now, we know that race for a number of years now has been struggling on the back of the Everest, hasn't been attracting a great field. It's always sort of been run within a week of the Everest. And most of the connections of the best sprinters in the country will prioritise their horses trying to get them ready for the Everest up here in Sydney. And unfortunately, the flow-on effect has been that the Manikato Stakes has had a pretty substandard field for the last few years. They finally made the change in Moonee Valley and decided to bring it forward to AFL Grand Final League, which I think is a sensible option. It should hopefully generate a much better field now being sort of 2 or 3 weeks before the Everest. And some of those connections, I'd imagine, will use that race at Moonee Valley as the last lead-up before they come up to Sydney. So that was the big change. They've obviously moved the Moyer Stakes forward a little bit, a few weeks as well, to earlier in September. I suppose the one change that's caused a little bit of consternation down there was the Fian Stakes, which has always been the golden ticket race to get into the Cox Plate, has been moved forward as well, moved to the sort of that AFL Grand Final Eve weekend as well, which is going to make it sort of very close to the proximity of the Underwood Stakes. So I don't think the Melbourne Racing Club is overly happy about that. But, yeah, some significant changes down there in Melbourne for the spring. Mm,
there was some talk around yesterday whether Craig Williams would keep his ride on Mr. Brightside. What's the latest there?
Yeah, he's kept it, Loz, thankfully. Thank goodness the owners have gone to a vote. Yeah, Craig was a clear majority in winning that vote. I'm sure there were some dissenters within that ownership group who wanted to have Zach Burton on, but I think common sense has finally prevailed. So I don't think Craig's done too much wrong on the horse for a number of seasons now, not just for the last couple of runs, but for a good 2 or 3 years now. So thankfully, he'll keep the ride on Mr. Brightside for the Australian Cup in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, there you go. Also, just a question without notice. Gillon McLachlan, is it inevitable that he'll be the next chairman of Racing Victoria from your information?
I don't think so. I don't think so, Mido. I was actually chatting to someone about this yesterday, quite ironically. And listen, they've rolled out the red carpet for him. They desperately want him to take on the job. I think Gil's just surveying his options of taking a bit of a back seat at the moment and seeing what's out there. Whether he wants to stay in sport, whether he wants to go and do something in the private sector or not, I'm not too sure. But certainly, the Victorian government down there is desperate for him to take on the job. And I think it'd be a really good appointment, just given his clout and his connections and And not just that, but his background in racing. Like, he absolutely enjoys racing, Mido. He's been involved with it for many, many years in ownership and breeding and whatever else. So he would be a really smart appointment, but I think it's going to take a bit to convince him to take the job on.
What did you make of the halfback changes this weekend for Tigers, the Rabbitohs, and, of course, Newcastle Knights with Jackson Hastings getting punted?
Do you think this speaks to a bigger issue, Lois, just the amount of pressure that coaches and clubs are under, like, early in the season now?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. There's no time to get your team right and, you know, you've got to win straight away. Otherwise, if you're a team that hasn't had success, the coach is under pressure. And if you're a high-profile club and you're not winning, all of a sudden the noises are louder at your club than some of the others.
Yeah, I find it so interesting that a lot of these clubs and coaches would have done so many reps in the pre-season. Like, no, there's no doubt South would have done so many reps in the pre-season with Lachlan Elias as their first-choice halfback. Same with Newcastle, with Jackson Hastings, I would have thought, and even to a lesser extent, with Jaden Sullivan and the Tigers, and then all of them within 2 weeks are either sitting on the bench or playing in reserve grade, which is huge calls. Yeah, the Jackson Hastings one is very interesting, like, to me up at Newcastle. I would have thought if someone was going to be the fall guy up there at the Knights after the first couple of rounds, it probably would have been Tyson Gamble. I thought they might have played him off the bench and played Hastings and Cogger together. Having said that, I can understand why some people would think that Hastings and Cogger are both very similar players. They're organising halfbacks. But I think the bench is perfectly suited to Gamble with his energy coming on in the second half for 20 or 30 minutes. You can play him in the fours as sort of a loose forward at number 13 or in the halves or even at hooker. So, yeah, that was probably the one that caught me most by the surprise, Lodge, to be honest, is Jackson Hastings. And where does he go to? Like, I don't know how Jackson Hastings gets his spot back in that Newcastle team in the next couple of months.
Thank you, mate. Have a good day.
We'll chat tomorrow. See you, boys.